It is good to have you here on this Sunday morning. I was slightly concerned last evening as I had all my notes spread out in my lap and I had the television on mute on a football game. And I thought, oh no, half of my church isn't going to show up tomorrow. It was the third quarter and they were losing 10-7. And I thought, oh boy, everybody's going to be in mourning if the Buckeyes lose and nobody will make it to church. And fortunately for you, they made a comeback and beat them Catholics, all right? They took care of that. 1 Timothy chapter 2. So we're glad you're here. We're glad you survived the scare. Brother Travis, if you'll come up, I think there's a few folks I know that don't have this. I'm looking for mine. Here we go. You don't have an outline of 1 Timothy chapter 2, just slip your hand up there and Travis will get you one. First Timothy chapter 2, pray for the Marietta Bible College. They start classes this week. Tuesday is registration. Wednesday they start classes. And Thursday morning will be my first class with them and we're doing pastoral epistles. Wouldn't you have guessed? We're going to do 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. So right now I'm studied up enough to get through the first 3 or 4 weeks. I won't have to study more. But by that time, I'm going to catch up to where we're at, so I'm going to be studying for that. Then I won't have to study for this. Somehow that works out that way. But I enjoy having two of the same thing going at the same time because that eases up the study just a little bit. If I'm doing two different things, that makes Tuesday and Wednesday pretty rough. Studying for Wednesday night and for Thursday, and then Thursday for Sunday, something different. So this will work a little bit. But pray for them as they get started this year. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we are talking about prayer. The members of the church in their devotions, the praying members, talking to God for men. And we've already discussed all of that. And you know what? I need that one right there. And we talked last week, we started on how to pray, verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, we talked about exhorting, that means encouraging, urging, a positive thing. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, that's the priority of prayer. All right, first of all, when Paul writes to Timothy about the responsibilities of the church, the first thing he says, first of all, pray. That is our primary responsibility. And so I wonder how good we are at that primary thing. The second thing is going to be witnessing, soul winning, whatever you want to call it. We'll get down to that in verse number 4, 5, and 6. But the first priority is prayer. How much time do we spend doing what God told us is our primary task, and that is praying. So we're looking at the four parts of prayer, beginning in verse number 2, how to pray, in verse number 1, how to pray. And we talked last week, first of all, exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications. And that's what we talked about last week. Supplications. Supply. That's the root word of supplications. Asking God to supply our needs. Whether those needs be financial, whether they be physical. And boy, Friday was a day. We were praying for Pastor Shadina up in Michigan. He had triple bypass surgery on Friday. We've been praying for Ryan Biafas up in Michigan, a pastor up there that's related to Matt. And he started his chemotherapy on Friday for cancer. We were praying for Liz Rogers on Friday as she was going in for surgery for her cancer. All three of those, praying for supply, for God to meet needs. That's what supplication is about. Financial, physical, emotional, spiritual, mental. We have many needs. And all of them are very real and very serious needs. Folks wrestle with emotional issues. You say, well, they shouldn't. Well, maybe. But they do. And we need to ask God to supply them peace and calmness of heart for ourselves. And the word supplication, I believe, really is emphasizing our own needs. Because we're going to get to another word that talks about the needs of others. So there's nothing wrong when you begin praying to ask God to meet your needs. Now again, not your wants, but your needs. Not I want a bigger this or better that or newer this or newer that. Or I want this thing, but what you need. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You have not because you ask not. Our Father hath knoweth what you have need of even before you ask. We looked at all those verses last week. That's what supplication is all about. Part of prayer. Asking God to meet our needs. The second part is mentioned here in verse number 2. First of all, supplication. Second, prayers. Now you say, well, that's redundant. This is all about prayer. Well, this element of prayer is separate from just the general overall prayer. This prayer is talking about this thing being an act of worship. That we are communicating with God in heaven. When we pray, we're not just talking out our problems. When we pray, we're not airing our grievances to God. When we pray, we are talking to the Creator of the universe. And so in this sense, prayer is synonymous with worship or praise. Look, if you would, back at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. You remember when the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Teach us how to pray"? We all know that prayer. It is the disciples' prayer. It's not the Lord's prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. The Lord's prayer is in John chapter 17 when Jesus prayed to the Father. But He taught His disciples how to pray in Matthew chapter 6. And notice it's interesting. He says in verse number 9, after this manner, again, this is not to be repetitive. You're not supposed to repeat these words. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. He said, after this manner, this is a pattern of prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. How does He start the prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. You know how Jesus taught His disciples to begin their prayers? With worship. With adoration. With exaltation. Giving God the glory. When we come before God in prayer, we're coming before God in prayer. You're not talking to another human being. You're not even talking to someone in a high position. You're talking to the God of heaven. We talked about it last week, how you can get on a cell phone and talk to somebody 8 hours away, and the minute you dial that number, boom, it's right there. How much more so our conversation with God, how accessible He is, that at any moment, any time, you might be driving down the road and something pops into your mind, a need, someone else having a need. Stop, pray right there. You can do it any time, any place, anywhere. You can begin to communicate to God. That's the privilege of being one of God's children. Now, if we're not children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, He doesn't bend His ear. The only prayer that God is obligated to hear of general humanity is the prayer, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." That's the only prayer God has to listen to for an unregenerate, unsaved person. But you and I that are saved, God listens to every prayer and every word. In fact, knows not just the prayers of our mouth, but the intents of our heart when we pray for those things. Therefore, He can kind of sort out what's sincere and what's not sincere, what's a need and what's not a need. But we can talk to God at any point in time. We begin, or at least within our prayer, we give Him praise. We give Him glory. We let Him know. We know who we're talking to. You know, if you're talking to somebody in a position, you talk to the mayor, you talk to a representative, you just don't talk to them like you talk to everybody else. Now, we're in a step-down society where people are trying to do that, but you don't. You address them properly. You address them. When I see Mayor Jackson here in Baysville, I call him mayor because that is his title right now while he's there. We use those titles together. Now, God in heaven needs to be given the respect and honor that's due His name. And I've got news for you. This world does not give Him that respect, does not give Him that honor, does not give Him that glory. You and I as His children need to. We pray with prayers. Look, if you would, at 2 Kings 19. Just a couple of references to show us what this thing of prayer is all about. 2 Kings 19. It's in here somewhere. 2 Kings 19. Verse number 15. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, Thou art the God, even Thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, Thou hast made heaven and earth. See how Hezekiah started his prayer? And that's true of Solomon. It's true of David. It's true of the Lord Jesus Christ, even in John 17, talking to the Father. We begin with prayer. Old timers used to say, I don't know if people say it too much anymore, but they tell their kids, they say, say your prayers. Well, that didn't mean go ask God for something. That meant spend some time with God. Get alone with God. We have the availability of prayer at any time and any moment, and we need to take advantage of that. So when we pray with supplications. We pray with prayers, worship, personal devotion. Thirdly, he says in verse number 2, and intercessions. All right, number 1, supplications. Number 2, prayers. Number 3, with intercessions. Now again, we find the root word intercede. What does that mean? On behalf of others. So our supplications were basically for our needs. The intercessions were for the needs of others. That's what intercessions are. Praying for others. Again, we said this last week. If you took supplications and prayed for your needs, you could pray for half an hour without blinking an eye. If you sat down and say, God, here's what I need. David said, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, restore me to fellowship with you. Lord, help me to walk with you. Those are needs. And if we start with those needs, that would take us quite a while. Then we get to prayers. We're giving God the glory due His name. How long would it take to do that? See what I'm saying? Prayer can be a timely investment. Now, it's not the length of prayer that matters to God. It's the strength of prayer, as we say. But you're not going to get strong by whispering a 30-second prayer. We had a fun time here yesterday with the youth rally. And Brother Lewis had four of the youth directors up here on the stage. And they all had to take dumbbells, weights, and hold them straight out like this. And they had a prize, a switch, for the team department of the team director who held those, who was the last one to drop their arms up here. And those four guys got up here and boy, they started out and they're holding them and then all of a sudden you see one of the young guys, his whole body in here was just starting to shake like that as he was struggling to keep his arms up. And then they're flipping him over this way, hoping that's going to help a little bit. One guy was turning circles, trying to get his mind off of what's going on. They were doing everything and you see their arms start bending like this and they're struggling. And one would drop off and then eventually the other would drop off and then finally it was down to two and it was a young guy and an older guy, a gray-haired guy. And the younger guy dropped out and the oldest man in the group won and all of us old folks were cheering. You don't get strong in 5 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, 40 seconds. You get strong by exercising longer. And our prayers, our prayer life, is something that ought to be a great investment in us. We ought to have some strength to it. And the strength comes by spending time in prayer. By doing it. And so it needs to be a challenge to us. And I know when I study this thing, I'm always intimidated when I study prayer. Because I'm convinced I don't pray enough. We need to pray more. Supplications, prayers, intercessions. Intercessions is on the behalf of others. I think the greatest example of intercessory prayer, I shouldn't say that. I guess the greatest example is the Lord Jesus when He's praying for His sheep. But let's get it down to our human level, if we can say it that way. Look back at Exodus chapter 32. Exodus 32. This is Moses. God has said He's going to wipe out the children of Israel because He just got fed up with them. 10 times they tempted Him in the wilderness. And in Exodus chapter 32, and verse number 30, look at verse number 30, Exodus 32, verse 30. It came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up to the Lord, peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. You remember that at the foot of Mount Sinai. Moses said in verse 32, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. You see Moses' intercession for the nation of Israel? And the only thing that held God's hand back of complete and utter destruction was the prayer of Moses. He said in verse 32, yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin. Do you notice after that word sin, something that never happens anywhere else in the Bible? There's just a dash. Boy, theologians have talked for ages. What in the world does that dash mean? It just simply means Moses had no more words. He broke down under the burden of praying for the children of Israel. He was so brokenhearted for them and their disobedience to God and His intercession for them that He just, you know, the Bible says that the Spirit prays for us with words which cannot be uttered. That's what was going on in Moses' heart right there. He didn't know what else to ask, what else to say to God. But he was interceding for them. There are times when you and I pray for someone else, a loved one, a sibling, a child, a parent, and they have such a great need and need God to intervene for them in such a way that you just don't know what to say. Oh, I'm so thankful that God hears the prayers of our heart. Not just the words of our mouth. And there Moses couldn't say another word, but God knew exactly what the burden of his heart was. That's what intercession is all about. Praying on behalf of others. I'm going to read Job chapter 13. You can look there if you want. Job 13 verse 15. Job was another man who made intercessory prayer. And here's the big thing. I bet it's Job 31, because 13 wouldn't make sense. No, it's not 31. So let's look at 13. Bear with me here a minute. I'm trying new glasses today. That's not the verse. It's got to be the end of the book. And Job prayed for his three friends. That's the verse that I'm looking for. All right, it's in there somewhere. You'll have to take my word for it. There's a verse that says, and Job prayed for his three friends. Okay. Not fine. 42:10. Now, you waited till I turned away from the book of Job. Thank you. I was looking right past it, wasn't I? Job 42. So how did I write down 13? Oh, that's Hebrews. Yeah, these glasses are not doing very good. 42:10. And the Lord turned the captivity when he prayed for his friends. And he said, well, that's not bad, praying for your friends. You remember who the friends were? The three guys that accused him of all manner of ill. Of being a bad person, that's why God's judgment was on him and he was smitten with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Yet God told him to pray for his three quote-unquote friends, and he did. Interceding in prayer is not just for the people that we like. Interceding in prayer, what does it say in Matthew? Pray for your enemies. Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? Pray for them which despitefully use you. It didn't say pray against them. It said pray for. That's a tough word. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Pray for your enemies. Job prayed for his three turncoat friends. Let's see what that Hebrews 13:15 is, now that I know that that's Hebrews and not Job. I lost a little nose piece on my glasses yesterday, and so it was digging into my nose all day long, and I can see fine this way, but I can't read without them. So I had to go to my old backup pair, and they're not quite the same as the newer ones are, until I can get to, and of course it's a holiday weekend, so can't get to the eye doctor till Tuesday. Hebrews 13, verse 15. And that's... hang on to that verse. We'll get to that one in a minute when we get to giving of thanks. Everything's running together. All right, there's Job 42:10, right where I wanted it to be. Right next to Luke chapter 6, verse 28, where it says, pray for them which despitefully use you. All right, I had all the verses written down right there. I just wasn't seeing them. Intercessions, prayers on the behalf of others. So we've got supplication, praying for our needs. We've got prayers, exalting God, worshiping God, praising Him, giving Him glory. We've got intercessions on the behalf of others. Others, many times, that don't even know they need prayed for. Others that don't know we're praying for them. But we're to pray with intercessions. And then lastly, number 4, back in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and giving of thanks. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So the 4 parts are supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. That's not reserved for the last Thursday second to last Thursday in November, when we give thanks to God for His bounty. We are to be thankful at all times. In everything, the Bible says, give thanks. If we were to make a list of those things for which we are thankful, or at least should be thankful, there's a half hour prayer right there. Every one of those 4 things we could easily, if we wrote them down, have a half hour worth of prayer. That's 2 hours right there. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. No, no, no. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. And we spend 60 seconds in prayer instead of 60 minutes in prayer. And I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to me too. All right? We need an increase in our prayer life. The thing that is available to us that's not available to the unsaved, that God hears our prayers and promises to answer them, and we need to come to Him with thanksgiving. You know, on Wednesday nights we give prayer requests. And what a blessing it is when a couple weeks later, or a few weeks later, or a month later, somebody reminds us, we were praying for so-and-so, and here's what God did. Here's how God answered, and we give Him thanks for it. Some make journals of their prayers and put the request down and then put another column, and they go back to when those prayers were answered so they can have something to go back and thank God for. With giving of thanks. Philippians 4:6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Be careful. I think we looked at this last week. Be full of care. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I think you'll find those 4 parts. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, requests, that's intercession. Those same 4 parts there. With thanksgiving. You know, you've heard people talk about their needs, talk about what they need in their life with a bitter spirit and a bitter attitude and a negative context. God wants us to come to Him with thanksgiving. Sometimes maybe our need that we come to God for supply is, Father, help me get rid of a bad attitude. Help me get rid of bitterness towards someone. Help me get rid of anxiety. We have different needs that come in all these different categories. And you know what I've found? I found that the best way to know what our needs are is to read the Word of God, to read the Bible. And as we read it, as we see things and God speaks to our heart, you say, Lord, I need that spirit. I need that attitude. I need that backbone. I need that spirit of forgiveness. Whatever it might be, we get that by reading through the Bible. And that'll increase our prayer life. Our giving of thanks. Colossians 4:2. For in Philippians, right after that, Colossians chapter 4, verse number 2. Continue in prayer, he says. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. This thing of giving of thanks is repeated over and over and over in the Bible. Then we come to that one, Hebrews 13:15. I was ahead of myself there. There are many verses, we'll not look at all of them, but many verses that talk about our prayers needing to include thanksgiving. Don't end your prayer without thanking God for what He's done. Don't come just with supplications. Just, God, I need, I need, I need, I need. Come with all four parts of this prayer. Lord, I do need Your help. I do need Your provision. Lord, I give You the glory and the honor and the praise. I pray for brother or sister so-and-so. I pray for this person or that person. Lord, and thank You for being my God. Thank You for saving me. Thank You that I have this privilege of prayer. There's just so many things that we can say. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Praying with thanksgiving. One more verse back to Colossians chapter 3. Should have gone to that when we were there. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Colossians chapter 3 verse 17. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Giving thanks. You know, folks want to hear you say thank you. When somebody does something for you, goes out of their way to be nice to you, they want to hear thank you. And we are careful to make sure that we give them thanks. How much more so our Heavenly Father, who gives us the very breath that we breathe. Every morning when our feet hit the ground, we ought to say, God, thank You for getting me through another night. Thank You for giving me another day. Thank You for sustaining the roof over my head. Thank You for giving me sleep. There's folks that don't have many of those things. And we need to give thanks. So how to pray, verse number one, with supplications, with prayers, with intercessions, with giving of thanks. Then we go letter B, who to pray for. Aren't you glad the Bible gives you the details? It's not up to us to figure it out. God is very explicit in His details. It says in verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, prayer, supplications, prayers, intercession, and the giving of thanks be made, number 1, for all men. That's number 1, two blanks. All men. Now again, the word men is not gender specific. It's talking about mankind, but all people. Here's a challenge. Pray for all people. What are we nearing? 8 billion? Right now on the face of the earth? Can you pray for all 8 billion of them? No, you can't. And that's not what it means. You know what it means when it says praying for all men? It means there's not a one of them that you can't pray for. Oh no, not that one. He's too wicked. Not that one. He's too far gone. Not that one. He's been witnessed to so many times before and turned it away. No, for all men. Our prayers need to include everybody. Again, we talked about the intercession, praying for others. That's not just those that we like, but those that we dislike. Someone, the old expression is this, no one has the right to criticize anyone he hasn't prayed for. There's a great challenge to us, isn't it? the people in our community, those that give us trouble, give us hardship, do we pray for them? We had a real blessing at Senior Saints last Tuesday. One of our neighbors came. And it's a neighbor that we've had some contentions with in the past. And even had to call the police on in the past. And yet, here they were at Senior Saints on Tuesday morning having a good time. What a blessing that was. Yesterday at the youth rally, we had four young girls that live close to the church that we've had some difficulties with the parents, mainly the mom. She's Catholic and doesn't like us being here, and there's just a whole lot of things involved in that. And she's very protective of the girls and keeping them away from us and away from this, and we've invited them to VBS and all these other things, and they've never been there. Yesterday, they were here at the teen rally because someone's been praying for them. And they came to the teen rally, and I caught them as they were leaving at the end of it yesterday, and they were heading down the steps. I was coming up the steps, and I said, "We're so glad you are here today." I said, "I hope you had a good time." And they all at one time said, "We sure did." That'll go a long way. Praying for all people, not just those that they're favorable, but for everyone, especially those that need it in that way. For prayers for all men. He's not telling us to pray for all 8 billion people on the face of the earth, but He's telling us that there's not a one of those we can't pray for. Who to pray for? Number one, all men. Number two, for kings. Paul tells Timothy, pray for kings. You know, when there's a good king, it's easy to pray for him. You look back there in the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, both the northern tribes and the southern tribes both had 20 kings. The southern tribe had 8 good kings and 12 bad kings. The Bible says of the bad ones, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. The good ones, they did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And that Elijah and the prophets prayed for both of them. They prayed for Ahab. Can you believe that? Prayed for Ahab. They prayed for Nebuchadnezzar. Boy, Daniel did a lot of praying for that rascal. God showed himself alive in many mighty ways for Nebuchadnezzar. For kings. The Bible says when we're praying, we need to pray for kings. That includes all governmental leaders or highest ranking governmental leaders, because we'll get to the lower ranks in just a moment. Kings, presidents, dictators. That's what Paul's talking about. You know who was ruling the world right there when Paul wrote that? Oh, a nice friendly guy that approved of Christianity and did everything the Christians wanted to do. No, it was a fellow named Nero who was burning Christians on his property, killing them and setting them on fire. And fiddling away, as the old expression goes, as Rome burned. Blaming the Christians for it when he and himself indeed is the one that caused the fire to burn. And just it excommunicated all Jews from Jerusalem. Kicked them all out. You know what Paul said about him? Pray for him. Not a one that's beyond our prayers. We are to pray for kings, for presidents, for dictators. Proverbs 21:1. We'll have to end with this morning. Proverbs 21:1. Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Pray for your president that God would turn his heart whithersoever he will. That's quite a task right now. We have a president that needs a lot of prayer. Mentally, physically, in almost every other way. I understand he made a speech the other night. I didn't watch it. Why would I? I've heard everybody that did watch it, and they're all mad and upset. So I thought, well, I'm glad I didn't have to go through that. But I know this just by what little I know. That man needs prayer. And I'm not trying to be mean. Don't misunderstand. I'm just saying he needs prayer. He gets criticism. He gets castigated, and rightfully so for many things. But no man has the right to criticize anyone he doesn't pray for. Paul said, pray. Pray for kings. Pray for all men. Pray for those, we'll get to this next week, all those in authority. Boy, that takes, you know what we have a problem with in our day today? Respect for authority. Respect for those to whom honor and respect is due. And your prayer life, and we're going to get to it, why? To lead a quiet and peaceable life. Calmness. Your heart will be calmed when you pray for those you dislike. When you pray for those that you have a contention with. It'll bring peace to your heart. You won't be so tense, bottled up, angry, blowing up Facebook, blowing up social media, taking all your grievances out to all those people that are paying such close attention to you. No, they're not. Paul says, prayer should be made for all men, for kings, for those that are in authority. A great challenge to our prayer life. We'll continue with that next week. Father, thank you for the Word of God. It is alive. It is powerful. It is quick. Lord, and it cuts down to the joints and the marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And Father, we are challenged by this issue of prayer. God, I am challenged by it. Father, I'm intimidated. I hate to use that word, but I'm always challenged and motivated to recognize I don't pray enough. And God, I pray you'd pass that on to us. And Lord, may we not just acknowledge it and recognize it, but may we do something about it. Lord, and increase our prayer life. Father, bless our morning service and those that come to join us in Jesus' name. Amen.